Amen. Let's lift up a praise to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Bless your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to remain standing. Those of you who need to sit, feel free to do that. But we're going to read Scripture together. But right before we do that, we're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church. They're just waiting to go. So let's bless them as they go. Amen. Amen. You know, as we were worshiping, I was just looking around and seeing our children and young people, and I'm just so thankful, so touched in my heart that we are such a full-orb congregation, that we have so many children and young people that truly love the Lord and worship Him and follow Him. I want to encourage us to continue to pray, not only as our youth come back, but continually for our young people. Amen? Amen. Let's do that. We're reading from Luke chapter 24, and the words will be on the screen, and we're going to read verses 44 through 53 in unison together. Let's begin. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother John Rich if he'll come and pray over me as we've been doing these last several weeks. Amen. I so appreciate the support and the prayer of our elders, our leaders, and your prayers as well. Very, very much appreciated. I am very much aware that it is not by my strength, not by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. I invite you, if you've not already, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. And then also there is an outline in the bulletin that will go along with that. And my outline is somehow missing. Here it is. The outline will go along with the message in the PowerPoint presentation. And we hope you'll find that helpful. This morning I want to speak to you mainly from this verse 49, where Jesus says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." Right in the midst of him speaking to them about his death and his resurrection, he ends his discussion, his teaching of them, with this statement. So last week, as we were together on Resurrection Sunday and we saw and heard the account of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we read Jesus' words here from verse 47 that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. But is that all there is to it? Is that all there is to Easter, resurrection celebration? Is that all there is to it? That we're to be forgiven through repentance and then go out and take that message. Is that all there is to it? They were told that they are to repent, meaning to turn away from unbelief in Jesus Christ, and having that change of heart, change of mind. And therefore, on that basis, we're forgiven of sin. But does it go any further? Is there anything more there? I think as we look at this verse, verse 40, 49, where Jesus says, wait. He says to his disciples, wait. It's almost like the punchline, isn't it? You know how someone's explaining a story and somewhere near the end there's that one sentence which is the punchline. If you miss it, then you really miss the impact of the story or of the account. This is Jesus' punchline to them. He wants them to understand there is so much more than just repentance and forgiveness of sins. He says to them, I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. What did he mean? Well, in a nutshell, I believe the main point is this, that Jesus sent the promise of the Father to his disciples then, that they would receive power to live and to witness, and that same promise of Christ's Spirit is for his disciples, for you and for me, today. That same promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, Christ's Spirit, is for us today. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. Let's unpack it together. Number one, what was the promise of the Father? Well, we understand as we read the Scriptures, as we look back in prophetic history, but we also look forward into Jesus' teaching, we understand the promise of the Father is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit. We know this from the prophecies, which, when you think about this, the prophecies in the Old Testament were kind of like hints. The prophecies in the Old Testament that God gave about this specific thing, the promise that he was going to give, he gave hints. And they were given through the prophets to generations of God's people. What's interesting is that they did not get it. They did not understand it. In fact, we just read a few moments ago, verse 45, that Jesus had to open their minds to help them to understand about his death and his resurrection as it was prophesied in the Scriptures. So it is the same way with the hints about the promised Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. They didn't understand it. And he had to open their hearts and their minds so that they would understand it. What was the promise of the Father? Well, there's several Scriptures that were the hints in the Old Testament of the prophets. Let's look at several of them. Number one would be Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 29. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 29. Mark Turbitt is going to read that for us.
All right.
Somehow Pastor Tom messed that up. I'm not sure how, but I'm sure I messed it up somehow.
Okay. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Could you go back to verse 28 for me, Marshall? Verse 28. Notice he starts, and afterwards. It's because he's been talking about the restoration of Israel at the first, before verse 28. The restoration of Israel, he had prophesied, was going to happen. But then he inserts this word, the prophet inserts this word, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people, all flesh. And of course, we know that Peter quotes this in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. He quotes this as the coming of the Holy Spirit, as the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so the afterwards is referring to the time of fulfillment. It's referring to this time then, once Jesus has ascended to the Father, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. Notice with me it says it will be poured out on who? Just the Jews. Is that right? on all people. Now, if you were a good Jewish boy or girl, you would probably say, A.B., the Gentiles too? And all people means the Gentiles too. Not just the Jewish people, God's chosen people under His old covenant, but the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all people, Gentiles included, which gives you and me, unless you're Jewish here, it gives us a wonderful, wonderful place in God's new covenant. That we too, Gentiles, non-Jews, are included in God's covenant. Then He says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people, and they will prophesy. Now, the word prophecy has a broad meaning, and it has some specific meanings too. It certainly means the coming of the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Father certainly means that there will be gifts of prophecy, as in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is one specific meaning, but that's not the intended meaning here. It is rather the word prophesy, meaning to speak forth or to proclaim, meaning that all of those on whom the Holy Spirit is poured out, they all will prophesy, whereas the prophets were the ones primarily who spoke for the Lord. They spoke forth for the Lord. Now, all of us who have the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, we shall now prophesy, speak forth from the Lord. That's why He connects it with, you will be My witnesses. You are witnesses of this. If you are a witness, then you've got to tell the truth. Right? If you know a story, it's got to be told. So it is with His disciples. No longer will it be only a choice few prophets speaking, but rather an entire body of believers filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they will prophesy. They will witness about Christ's resurrection and transformation in their lives. So this is the first effect and fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, 28 through 29. The Holy Spirit will be poured out, and guess what? You are all going to be preachers. You are all going to preach. You are all going to witness. Then we look at the next hint that He gives in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. Now we're going to move a little deeper into the impact and the meaning of the promise of the Father. And Ryan Allen is going to read that passage for us.
I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit in you and move you to follow My decrees and be careful to keep My laws.
Amen. Go back to verse 26. Actually, go to verse 25 there. So, as we're looking at this, look at the impact. Let's dig a little deeper with this. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. It's talking there about cleansing, right? When you finish the dinner dishes, you take the dishes over to the sink, and what do? Most of you leave them, don't you? Shame on you. No, you turn the water on and you rinse it off, right? And then you wash it. You clean it off. You're trying to get it clean. So it is with this clean water. Who provides the clean water? The Lord, by His Spirit. He takes the clean water of the Spirit and He washes our hearts. He removes the impurities. I will cleanse you, says the Lord. I will cleanse you not only from impurities, which is uncleanness of heart, but I will purify you from idols. All those things which draw our hearts. All the things of the world that draw our hearts. We know Israel, they were constantly led away from the Lord to follow idols. They would go into this land, you know, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Termites, all these different people. That's where they came from, you know. They came from over there. So the Lord sends them into these lands and says, listen, don't intermingle with the people. Don't give their daughters to your sons, and don't take their sons for your daughters for marriage. If you do, if you intermingle, you will take on their values. You will take on their idols. They will lead you astray. They will lead your heart astray. And they did exactly that. Their hearts were constantly led astray. The Lord speaks to them about this over and over again through the prophets. And of course, every time the Lord chastises them, disciplines them, they say, "Oh, Lord, we're so sorry. You know, we won't do it again. We promise, Lord, we won't do it again." Where's the idol? Right? I mean, as soon as the Lord's gone, where's the idol? You know, and, you know, I'm making light of it here, but it was very serious to the Lord. And he says, "I'm going to cleanse you of this. I'm going to cleanse your heart of the impurities of your heart. And I'm also going to cleanse you from your idols." He says, by the way, "I'm going to pour out my spirit on both my men servants and my maid servants." Aren't you glad about that? God is the first women's liver. He makes no distinction in terms of giving his spirit and his salvation. It is for all men and all women. And then he says, "I'm going to put a new heart and a new spirit in you. I'm going to remove out of you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I don't know about you, but sometimes I realize how hard-hearted I can become. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has removed that heart of stone and has given me a heart of flesh. But the problem is that heart of flesh keeps becoming calloused. It keeps becoming hardened. And so every day, the Lord can tenderize our hearts. Amen? Every day, as it's a new day, He tenderizes our hearts and He softens our hearts and makes us more and more into the image of Jesus. Then He goes on and He says, "I will put a new spirit in you." How does He do that? By giving us of His Spirit. Giving us His Spirit. Now, you've got to catch the impact of this. Who did God allow His Spirit to go into under the Old Covenant? It was only prophet, priest, and king. And the anointing, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, was only for a season. And when that role or that task was done, then the Holy Spirit would need to come upon them again for another task. It was only for prophet, priest, and king. Now He says, "I'm going to put my spirit in all of you. All of you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." Therefore, we can be led of the Spirit every day. We can be led of the Spirit. Then, finally, in this verse, He says, "And I will move you. I will move you. Motivate you to follow His decrees." We have talked about this before, that God gave the law, but the law could never deal with sin. The law is like that speed limit sign. It only makes us want to go faster. It cannot help us to slow down. No, because it's an issue of the heart. You see, when I, in my rebelliousness, I see that speeding sign, the speed limit sign, where it tells me, go 55. I want to go 75. Right? My rebellious nature says, "No, you're not going to tell me how fast I'm going to drive. I want to drive as fast as I want to." So that sign can't help me. The sign is the law. The law could not help us, could not make us righteous. No, it led us to Christ. It was a tutor to lead us to Christ. Now, the Lord says, "I'm going to move you. I'm going to motivate you so that you want to follow my decrees. You want to follow my laws." Who is it that gives the motivation? The Lord by His Spirit. A lot of people think, I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to just, you know, really do better. I'm going to improve and then I'll be acceptable to the Lord. That's not how it works. Because number one, we don't have that within us, that motivation, you know, where we really, really want to follow the Lord. Until He pours His Spirit into us and changes our hearts, moves us to want to follow. It's the want to that's the problem. And by His Spirit, we want to. And He allows us to be careful in following His ways and His laws. This is what makes us want to be like Jesus, want to follow Him. Finally, under this part, number one, He is the Spirit of Christ. The promise of the Father is of the Spirit, but the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. We know this from Jesus' teachings. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, Jesus was telling His disciples, and this, of course, is before His crucifixion, before His resurrection and His ascension, and He talks to them a little bit. In verses 15 through 20 of John's Gospel, chapter 14. Now, you got to remember the setting, right? They're kind of gathered around, and the disciples are very upset. They're very sad. You know, it's kind of like with all you young people, when you're coming towards the end of school and you're really very upset and you're very, very sad that school is ending, right? But it's that aspect where they're trying to understand what Jesus is talking about. They thought they understood that he was going to come and, you know, be their redeemer, be their rescuer, be the deliverer. And now he starts talking about leaving. And of course, we know, beginning of chapter 14, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going before you to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a room for you." And then he goes on in verse 15, he says this, "If you love me, obey what I command. You will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father." Now, I need to stop there and just tell you, when he says this, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and as well." It's not separate. The Greek conjunction makes it clear that in addition to, or as you are doing, as you are obeying, as you are seeking to obeying, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him," watch this, "for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, wait a minute. He just said, "I'm going to send the Spirit and he is going to be with you." But now in verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you. I will come to you." Do you see it? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ who comes to live in us, make his home in us. He becomes our counselor. He becomes the Spirit of Truth within us. And then Jesus goes on, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That is the beautiful revelation of Christ's Holy Spirit living in us. Think about that for just a second. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh, and now, because he has been glorified and ascended to the Father, he sends his Spirit to live in you and me. We as Christians, you know, we hear that so often, I think sometimes we become immune to that. We miss the beauty and the impact of what this means. Christ's Spirit lives in me and in you. He lives in these cracked vessels. He lives in us despite our sin, because our sins are covered by the blood. But even with that, we know we all have ongoing sin, right? Sins of commission and sins of omission, things that we do and things that we didn't do that we know we should have. And despite this, the Spirit of Christ lives in you and me. We need to let this revelation of Christ's Spirit lay hold of us. We need that to impact us. So often we relate to God, thinking about God, he's out there. And even Jesus Christ, we think of Jesus, he's out there. And, you know, our prayers are directed to him out there. And I understand that because we pray to the Father through Christ, but the Spirit of Christ lives in you and me. And so every day, our relationship with God should be, through the Holy Spirit, it should be, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, today I ask that you fill me. I ask that you help me to crucify the flesh, crucify my will, and let your will be done in my life. Let the will of Christ be done in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with power. Fill me with strength. Give me new cleansing this day." We know the scripture from Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Not from up there. It's not that Jesus is somehow sitting on the throne doling out strength to you and me. "Oh, there you go, Juliana. You need a little strength. There you go. There you go. Dylan, you need some strength. Yeah. Harry, you need some strength." It's not like that. We receive strength from the Spirit within us. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians 1. He says, "I pray that out of glorious riches of Christ that he will well up within you." I'm paraphrasing. He will well up and open the eyes of your heart. You will know the revelation of how great his love is. And the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that is at work in you. It is from within, the Holy Spirit, who is filling us, who is leading us, guiding us, teaching us. All those things that we read about in John 14. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in here. He can help me to persevere. He can help me to overcome. What is it today that you're dealing with that you need to overcome? What is it today happening in your life that you need to persevere through? Life is not always easy, is it? Life can be difficult. And we need His strength to persevere. It comes through the strength that the Spirit gives us. Now, number two, I need to digress for just a moment. We talked about this last week, but I need to say it again. To receive forgiveness of our sins and the promise of the Spirit, we must, A, repent of our unbelief and sins. I'm just going to mention this because we went at this at length last week. We must repent of our unbelief and sins. That's what Jesus talked about, verse 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name. Repent means to turn away from, to change our mind, and true repentance. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. I know it's a little warm in here and the hour's growing late, but the roast hasn't burned yet, so we can hang on for a few more minutes. True repentance is demonstrated by a change in thinking and action. True repentance is demonstrated by a change of thinking and action. You see, repentance is much, much more than saying, well, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I'm living like the devil. That's not true repentance. Jesus calls us to repent, meaning to turn away from unbelief in Him and to turn away from living our lives the way we want to live it and to live under His Lordship. That's the call of discipleship, Luke chapter 14. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And we know that cross is a symbol to the death to the self. It's death to the self. So repentance is a first step to receive forgiveness of sins and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Part of our repentance, and I want to mention this as well, because Peter mentions it in his sermon in Acts chapter 2. Part of our repentance is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. By the way, we're going to be having a baptism in a few weeks, as the weather gets warm and the water warms up, we're going to be having a baptism. And if you've not been baptized as an adult believer, you need to be, because Christ commands it. To be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ means this. We are willing to be completely identified with Jesus Christ. Completely identified. No holds barred. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what this world says. I'm identifying myself with you. Jesus said this, if you acknowledge me, confess me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. Now, that is not the unpardonable sin. Just so you're wondering, you know, because even if we, in a moment of weakness, disown the Lord, He is still faithful. And we repent of that and turn back to the Lord, He receives us, just like the prodigal son. What is the unpardonable sin is if I continue and stay in disowning the Lord. That's unpardonable. There's no other way except through Christ. Look with me at the disciples' response when Jesus says to them, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. You would think that given Peter's track record, you would think that he would have something to say here, don't you? Peter had foot and mouth disease. Every time he opened his mouth, he usually put his foot in it. And he always had something to say, which the Lord had to, you know, kind of just shake his head and say, Peter, come here. Come here. You know, a little talk here. You know, I understand Peter, and I often feel like him. But look at the disciples' response, verses 52 and 53. Jesus tells them to wait. Stay in the city, Jerusalem, until they receive the promise of the Father. What do? They stay. They get it right. They worship Him. They go back to Jerusalem, and they worship Him continually at the temple. They obeyed the Lord. They were finally beginning to understand as God gave them revelation. Then notice with me number 3, verse 49. He says, you are going to receive power. Power. from the promise of the Father. You're going to receive power, clothed with power. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's kind of like, in a sense, and please forgive the illustration, but it's kind of like being naked and you're unclothed, right? And Jesus is clothing us with power. It's because, honestly, in ourselves, in our own strength, we are. We are spiritually naked before the Lord. We have no spiritual strength on our own. And God, through the Spirit, clothes us with power. And so He gives us the power to live and to be His witnesses. He gives us the power to live this new life with a new heart and a new spirit every day. Every day. Every day is a new day. And again, on a very practical level, I begin my day seeking God through the Spirit that He would fill me and allow me to live this life that will honor Him and be a witness of Him. I cannot, folks, live this life, and I cannot fulfill this calling He has on my life by my own strength. I can't do it. I cannot, in my own strength, live this Christian life. Please don't think that somehow, because I'm a preacher, you know, that I'm exempt from all this, and that somehow this just, you know, when I got ordained, this automatically happened, and, you know, you're all set, Pastor Tom. No. Listen, I'm a man of flesh. I have to deal with myself. I have to deal with my own sin. Every day, I have to bow in my heart before the Lord and say, Lord, I want You to live Your life through me. I crucify the flesh. Holy Spirit, fill me that I can live this life. Listen, if you don't do that every day, you will default to the flesh mode. You will. You will default every day that you don't seek the Lord and ask for His Holy Spirit to fill you. You will default to the flesh mode. You will live out of the strength of your flesh. You will operate. You will walk in your flesh. And we know where that leads. And so, don't think that, you know, maybe you get up a particular day and you're rushing to get going and heading off to work or whatever tasks you are, and you get through the morning and you're like, oh, I can't believe it. I forgot to pray. Forgot to seek the Lord. Guess what? You can stop and do it right then. Right then. You can stop and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I rushed into the day, but I want to stop right now and ask that You would fill me with Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, just well up within me. Be that river of life within me. Be the springs of living water within me. Fill me, Lord. Cleanse me new and fresh. And fill me with the power and the mind of Christ. We can start fresh every day. New opportunity to let the Spirit fill me with His will and His power so that I can live this life, but also so that I can be ready when the opportunity comes to witness for Him. See, one of my prayers is, Lord, lead me to that person today that You want me to witness to. Are you praying that? Are you praying that? I mean, this is the primary thing that Jesus has asked of us, that not only did you live and follow Him in your own life, but that you be His witnesses. That's the primary thing He asks of you. Are you doing it? Are you asking Him every day, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength, so please fill me with Your Spirit and lead me to the one today that You want me to witness to. Are you doing that? I challenge you today. I know this is new. This is review for many of you, but maybe it's new for some of you. And I want to challenge you today to make a commitment that every day, Lord, I'm going to seek You. I'm going to ask for Your Holy Spirit to fill me, not only for myself, but for those that I'm coming in contact with that day. Do you know that? The Lord has blessed you, forgiven you, not only for yourself, but for those who are yet to come. Isn't that beautiful? God has given us beggars bread so that we can turn to other beggars and give them bread too. We can point to the bread giver. And so we close then. By the way, He also gives us the words to speak. Amen? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words to speak at the time, so we don't even have to worry about that. And He's going to pour out His gifts in me that I can minister effectively in the body of Christ. Oh, there's so much that we can go into, but our time is gone. We're going to end with Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. This is Jesus' last promise before He ascends. Dean Rhodes is going to read that for us.
but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
Jesus' last words. His last words need to be our priority in our life. "I'm going to pour out my Spirit. You're going to receive power. Lord, make us vessels that desire and long for your power in our lives. We thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we know that we cannot live this life by our own strength. We know that we need every day a fresh touch, a fresh filling of your Spirit. So, Lord, please, we cry out to you today, Lord. Soften our hearts. Continue to move and transform our lives. Lord, continue to have your way in our lives. Father, continue to bless us so that we can bless others. Lord, we don't mean in material things. We're so blessed in this country. But, Lord, in the things of the Spirit, the things of the of Christ's kingdom, because we're in such a lost and dying world. And Lord, we need courage. We need strength. I know as I use this word witness, I know that that strikes fear in the heart of many. They just don't know how they could find the words to speak. Lord, I understand that, that sometimes we just at a loss for a word. You don't even know what to say. So Lord, would you teach us by your Spirit as we seek you, Lord, would you teach us that we can depend on the Spirit to give us even the words to speak at the right moment. Lord, help us to take the risks so that we can see you work powerfully, marvelously, Lord, that you could use cracked vessels such as us. Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for the promise of your Spirit. We thank you for not leaving us as orphans. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for pouring out your blessed Spirit on our lives. Help us to follow you every day. We ask these things, and we praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious and precious name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. As we close the service, if you need prayer for any reason, I invite you to come up. Our elders will be up here and one of our deaconesses. And let us pray with you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the day as you enjoy it together. Remember to pick up your youth at 6 p.m. or so. Don't leave them here at the church. Amen. God bless you all.